Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, March 2nd edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'm joined by my co-host here on Tuesdays for the next 2 weeks, Mr. Cole Shelton. Cole, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. What about you?
I'm good, Cole. I'm good. So we made that announcement yesterday that there's going to be some changes to the show. And as Cole and I made it clear, you know, this was not like we're not kicking Cole off the show. He's welcome back literally anytime. Anytime you want, Cole, you can DM me and say, I want on the show today. So even if Marcel's on, I'll let you come on. But yeah, man, I just want to personally thank you, dude, for the last 2 years, because it's been 2 years since we've been doing this almost. Yep. Cool. It's crazy, dude. It's gone by quick. But I just really want to thank you, man, because you've put a lot of time and effort in this. And I really feel like you've become such a better on camera. And me too. Both of us have, man. So thanks, Cole. I appreciate it, man. But the good thing is Cole's going to do it for the next 2 weeks, guys. I talked to him. He's going to do today's card, and he's going to be back here next Tuesday as well. Or what card is it next week? I can't remember what it is.
Muhammad Edwards one.
There you go. We'll talk about that next week, but I haven't even looked at that card yet, guys, because I've been looking deep into this card. And I mean, might as well just get started with it. It's such a great card this weekend. I personally believe this is one of the best cards we've ever seen, maybe. Yeah. Like, it's really that good. You know, I'm just going to pull it up, Cole, but like, overall, your thoughts on this card? Because to me, it's a damn good card.
Yeah, this card's incredible. Like, the three title fights, like having Dominic Cruz and Joseph Benavidez on the prelims. Like, this card has four early prelims. Like, when does a card ever have four early prelims or maybe it has 15 fights? Like, it's really fun. Like, Sean Brady, Jake Matthews right now, I think, is the early prelim, like, headliner, the fourth one before the actual prelims. Like, Tim Elliott's fighting Kai Kara France. Like, Kyler Phillips, Song Yadong. That's going to be a great fight. Thiago Santos, Alexander Rakic opens up the pay-per-view. That could easily be a main event.
Yep, I agree. It's a fantastic card. Like, half these fights could have been the headliners for the Fight Night cards, like, last month.
Every single fight on the pay-per-view card could be its own headliner.
I agree. Like, I would have actually preferred almost to see Kenny versus Cruz for five rounds, for instance. But it is what it is. They're not going to complain at all. This is a great card. Let's get into it, guys. And, again, 15 fights, so... You know, we got an hour here. We're going to do our best, but there's going to be some stuff we can't get to talk about because just time issues. But we're going to start here with the Mario Bautista and Trevin Jones fight, Cole, in the UFC bantamweight division. And right now, the odds have Bautista is a pretty big favorite here, -235, Jones +195. Curious to hear your thoughts on this one, Cole. Start us off.
Yeah, I do like Mario Bautista, but I think the odds are a bit too high off. Like, just like we saw with Trevin Jones, like, the guy's pretty durable. Like, you could have stopped the fight in that first round, Timur Valiyev, like, he was getting pieced up, but he was still, like, kind of defending himself, so I had no really problem with it. And then he comes back, beats Timur Valiyev, becomes a no contest. It was because of marijuana, wasn't it, too, or something?
Yep.
He's so stupid, but Mario Bautista's guy that, like, he comes into the UFC, loses to Corey Sandhagen, and that's before anyone really knew who Bautista or Sandhagen was. Everyone kind of like, oh man, this guy got submitted in the first round, because I'm pretty sure that was like Sandhagen's like second or first UFC fight. Like, it was pretty early in his career. I think like it was what, his third UFC fight. He beat Oscar Ned and Iri Alcantara, so he wasn't really known. But Bautista's done pretty well since, beat Jin Suhoon, and then the TKO win of Miles Johns really impressed me. I'm pretty high on Miles Johns, so I think on the feet Bautista is a lot better. I think he has the power where maybe he can hurt Trevin Jones. Jones did get hurt quite often at Timur Valiyev, so I wouldn't be surprised if Bautista can TKO him, but I just like Bautista in this fight. I just think the odds are a bit too high.
Yeah, so I definitely watched more on both guys last night. Obviously, I remember Bautista, but it was good to like refresh my memory. The guy is really good. There's no doubt about it. I can definitely see why he's favored here, because he's actually quite a good fighter. The fight with Johns, man, that knockout with the flying, he was sick. The fight with Sun was crazy, too, so he's definitely good, but he does have some holes in his game, I think. We've seen him lose to Corey Sandhagen. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously different matchup here. Here's the thing though. I really think everyone's really overlooking Trevin Jones here, Cole, because the more I dug into this guy, he's really quite good himself. You look at his pictures and stuff, like go look at his Instagram. This guy's physically strong as hell for 135. Like, he's a little beast. So yeah, he's a little bit shorter, but I don't think it's going to matter, Cole. I think he is the stronger guy here. I watched the Valiyev fight again. Yeah, it is possible Chris Tyone could have stopped it, but rewatching that fight, it wasn't as bad as I thought initially, to be honest with you, when I remember watching it. So I'm glad I rewatched it. And at the end of that round, Valiyev was completely gassed. He got him down, and then second round knocked him out. So to me, that showed a lot. If you look at this guy's career, it's like, yeah, his record is not great, Cole. I think it's 12-6, but five of those losses are by split decision. And I watched a couple of those fights from like the Guam regionals. He actually watched this crap. And dude, I actually think he won some of those fights. So this guy's being really overlooked here, guys. +195 in a fight that I think is a pick 'em fight. I'm taking the dog here, Cole. Let's go for Trevin Jones, baby. Let's do it. probably decision, but he possibly could catch this guy. I don't know, though. I mean, Batista's good. Don't get me wrong, guys. Batista could win this fight. These odds are just wrong, though. They're giving Trevin Jones no respect. Watching this guy's footage, he is a good fighter. He actually has arguably a better win in the UFC over Timur Valiyev than anything that Batista's done so far. So, I don't know. I think this guy's being overlooked. It's a close fight, but my lean is actually towards the dog in this fight. Next off, we got Uros Medic and Alon Cruz. I love this fight too, Cole. Great one. Right now, we got Medic -165, Cruz +145. Thoughts?
Yeah, Uros Medic is about the only guy that breaks the rule of don't pick Lask FC fighters, because he looked – I picked against him on the Contender Series because I'm like, man, this guy comes around Lask FC. Like, look who he beat. He beat a 2-0, 4-4, 1-4, 0-1, 5-0. Like, he didn't beat anyone good. But the Mikey Gonzalez one, that was really impressive. Like, just kind of bulldozed through him. Alon Cruz moving up from 145 to 55 for this fight. This is only Medic's second fight at 55. It was in Alaska. He was fighting at 170, but he was always a smaller 170. Like, he does seem more of a lightweight, but it's kind of interesting. Medic's an inch taller, but it's going to be Cruz with a 7-inch reach advantage. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how Cruz is going to be able to use that jab. But with Spike Carlisle, like, Spike Carlisle kind of just caught him. It was controversy with the back of the heads, but this guy's dangerous. Like, he has that flying knee over Stephen Wynn. Like, he has some moments where he shows off serious power, but the problem with him is his grappling is not very good. So I think he is going to struggle against a lot of lightweight. That's not going to be a problem against Medic, who's more of a striker. But you look like Damon Blackshear was on the Contender Series, just kind of took him down and ended up submitting him. But I like Medic here. I think he's going to have the more power shots. I do worry about Cruz's chin. Like, I think Medic probably has a lot more power than what Spike Carlisle has. I know his chin's going to be a bit better at 55, but I think Medic is going to eventually land one of those big shots, drop him, and then finish him off on the ground.
I think it's a pretty good breakdown, Cole, to be honest with you. You know, this is definitely a competitive fight, no doubt about it. It's interesting because the weight class switches, Medic moving down from 170 to 155, and you got Cruz moving up from 145 to 155. That's really interesting. Yeah, Medic is a little bit taller. Cruz has that massive reach advantage, Cole. And you know what? He's actually quite good at using his reach. If you watch his fights, he's very good at staying at distance and using kicks. Here's the biggest problem with this guy. I watched a few of his fights. I don't like his chin, Cole. I think he has a shaky chin. The fight with Damon Blackshear, it was a great fight. It went to the fourth round. He got rocked and submitted in the fourth round. Spike Carlisle, who's not in the UFC anymore, hit him with the elbow, but also some of the shots on the ground, and it looked like he just got hurt really bad, Cole. And a guy like Medic, watching this guy work, the problem with him is his level competition's been really bad, but watching him, Cole, he destroys a lot of his opponents. Like, he walks in there and he just kills him. He's got a ton of power in his hand, but what I like the most about him is he's got this nasty calf kick that he throws when he hurts guys. Like, he'll hurt them with a straight left and throw a calf kick right after a knockdown. It's really fun to watch, actually. He looked amazing on Contender Series. I really don't trust Cruz's chin, Cole. Watching more fights from this guy, I think he's going to get KO'd in this fight. So my pick's Medic by TKO. I mean, listen, guys, it's not like a complete blowout, because Cruz does have that reach, and if he keeps a distance, he can win this fight probably on points or by flying knee, because that flying knee through against Steven was insane, by the way. It was crazy. It's possible he could win. Everything I've seen, even with the Alaska FC fade call, I still got to go with Medic, man. I got to go with him, and I'm going to take him by knockout call. Is there a prop on that? Medic inside distance is even money, so there's no value. Am I betting on this fight? I'm not sure yet. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure. I do like Medic, but, you know, there's some things that McCrew's obviously going to like too, so I'll think about it, but you'll find all those bets on the Elite Fantasy Podcast, Cole, on Friday nights. That's when I give them out. I don't give them out here. I can't. But let's go to the next fight, Cole. The next fight we're going to talk about here is Lavinia Souza gets Amanda Lemos in the women's strawweight division. Lemos -225 now, and +185 for Souza. Thoughts?
Yeah, what's crazy is Lemos opened as like a +170 dog. Like, mm-hmm. You could have guaranteed money just betting Lemos over in the line came out, now betting Souza, but I agree with how the odds are right now. I like Amanda Lemos in this fight. And if I wish he kind of stayed his dog, but I mean, the public was kind of smart at this. Souza, I still have questions. Right? Like, Brianna Van Buren beat her, and then we saw Tish Torres kind of run through. She has a split over Sarah Froda, then the win over Ashley Yoder, and a submission win over Alex Chambers. I don't really think any of those wins are that impressive in the UFC. Like, Ashley Yoder, although she set to fight Angela Hill, who's a ranked girl, like, she's kind of been like a 500 fighter in the UFC. But with Lemos, obviously, what's crazy is she lost to Leslie Smith, and then she took 2 years off, and then everyone was fading against Miranda Granger. And then she goes out there and blows through Miranda Granger. Then she beats Mizuki Inoue, who's a pretty good fighter. But the thing is, she was fighting a bantamweight against Leslie Smith. Now she's a strawweight, which is absolutely crazy. I think strawweight is where she should have been. I don't know why she was fighting at 135, but I like Amanda Lemos here. I think her grappling's going to be there. It's where you look at some of the problems Souza's had is when she gets taken down. And I just think Lemos might be able to just kind of hold her against the cage. I don't really expect this to be much of an entertaining fight. I just think Lemos is going to grind out a decision win.
Yeah, and she really is strawweight. She did take the fight with Leslie Smith, a short notice fight a few years ago, and she took it at 135 and got finished. But against a much bigger woman, watching that fight again, Leslie Smith was way bigger. Straight wagers here. Hey, what's going on, man? He says opening lines got crazy here. I think that they had the line wrong at open because I think Lemos is the flavor here for sure too. She's pretty good, Cole. You know, she's just a very physically strong, big fighter. She is 33 years old. She's a little bit older, so that kind of worries me a little bit just because, you know, you generally don't like to bet on older fighters. But I think she's kind of in her prime right now. She's looked incredible lately. Trains with the Alcantara brothers, so she's at a pretty good camp. Former Jungle Fight champion. And watching her fights, like, she has legitimate knockout power for a female fighter at 115. She has knockout power. I've seen her knock out women with knees and punches. So, to me, she's good. And we saw against Granger, she's got good finishing ability. And also, I just think she's going to be the stronger fighter in this fight. I do think she'll have the better cardio, too. Souza is a pretty good fighter. She's scrappy. She's gritty. But to me, she tires out later in her fights. A lot of her fights are super close fights that involve a lot of grappling, too. So, the judges are probably going to get involved with this. I do think it's going to go over 2.5, Cole. Even though Lemos has a lot of finishes, Souza's tough to finish. I think it plays out like the Brianna Van Buren fight. I think it's very similar to that fight. Brianna was more aggressive, and she basically had top position and was the bigger, stronger, a little bit stronger. I don't know if she's the bigger fighter. She's pretty small, but that's kind of how I see this one going, Cole. So Lemos probably by decision. I don't love the odds, Cole, at minus 225. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have got her a dog. That would have been great value, but even like, if it was a pick-em price, I might have considered her. But at this price, it's kind of a pass for me, Cole. I don't know what you're thinking. Like, I know you like her too, but it's kind of hefty, isn't it?
Yeah, I wish it was even like a minus 160. I think, of it. But
yeah, I agree.
I wish I was looking at the odds of way sooner and I would have put money on her as an underdog.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, you want to – I generally don't like to jump on lines right away unless it's a blown line like that one, which can happen at times. But generally, you want to get as much information as you can during the week. That's in my opinion. So, yeah, occasionally you'll see an opening line like this one. I just completely missed it too, Cole. I don't think a lot of us were looking at the lines. We're watching the last card. But, yeah, I think we're going to both go with Lemos. Okay, next up, we got Sean Brady, Cole, against Court McGee. Or, excuse me, not against Court McGee. What am I saying that for? Sean Brady against Jake Matthews. Much different fight. Right now, we got Sean Brady as a minus 210 favorite. Matthews plus 175. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting fight. Like, I think Jake Matthews gets overlooked by a lot of people. Like, the guy is still really young. Like, he's 26 years old. He came into the UFC so young. Like, what was it, 2014 he was in? Like, yep. He fought, and then he kind of got thrown right to the deep end. Like, James Vick in his third fight, Kevin Lee in his sixth fight. Like, he does hold the win over Li Jingliang, which looks really impressive now, considering what Li Jingliang did. He's ran off three straight wins, Rostam Akmam, email him every week, and Diego Sanchez. None of those wins are that impressive. Like, his career is weird. Like, he fought the better fighters early on in his career, then it's just been a step down competition like every single fight since, even though he's winning. Like, I don't really get what the UFC is matching him with, but I like Sean Brady here. If you look at Jake Matthews' career, it's with grapplers. Like, Anthony Rocco Martin submitted him. Kevin Lee kind of just took him down, ground pounded him out. James Vick submitted him. I think Sean Brady's a better wrestler than probably all three of them, but I think Brady's the real deal at welterweight. I'm very impressed with him. I think he's just going to kind of take Jake Matthews down, beat him up on the ground, and then eventually find a submission and get the submission win, probably like second, third round.
Yeah, this is a good fight too, man. You know, watching Matthews back, Cole, like, he's a really underrated fighter, man. People don't really give him his credit. Like you said, Cole, he's been in the UFC since he was a teenager. He's still a young guy. You know, looking at his Instagram, he's in great shape for this fight. He's ready to go, man. He said his wrestling is going to be on point for this fight. And, you know, he's definitely a solid wrestler, and his striking is okay. But I got to be honest, Cole, I just don't like the matchup for him. I think Jake Matthews beats a lot of guys in the UFC right now. But I just don't think he beats a guy like Sean Brady, who I think is just more well-rounded guy, a smarter fighter. I think he's got a little bit better cardio. And he makes less mistakes. The biggest thing I noticed with Matthews, Cole, is that he makes mistakes in his fights. He leaves openings, especially on the ground. We saw Rocco Martin choke him out with an anaconda choke. He just made a mistake and it got caught. Even Diego Sanchez in his last fight, he had an armbar with like 30 seconds left. Potentially, they could have got that had he not had all his blood over their bodies. So, you know, to me, that is a big issue here, because watching Brady, his submission game is very good, Cole. And he's able to get the fight to the ground and then move to a dominant position very quickly. We saw that against Christian Aguilera. Took him down, I believe it was with a double leg, and then he went right to full mount and got the guillotine, which was very impressive. that's kind of what I'm looking at here, guys. I'm kind of looking at Sean Brady by submission. That's what I'm looking at here. We don't have a prop, I don't think. Yeah, but we got Brady inside the distance of plus 250. There could be something to look at there, guys. Don't get me wrong. There's a very good chance he could win the decision. It could just be a grind fest. I could definitely see that. But, Cole, the mistakes I've seen with Matthews on the ground, I think a really good grappler like Brady is a black belt. Both guys are black belts, but Brady is a higher level black belt, no doubt about it. I think he's going to tap him, Moko. That's going to be my pick, guys. Brady inside the distance. So, I mean, at plus 250, there's definitely some value there. I would look at it. Maybe wait for that sub prop. But what do you think, Cole? Decision, or you think you could submit him?
No, I think sub.
Yeah, you too. There you go. So there you go. Me and Cole both like that. So again, don't have the prop on the sub, but keep that in mind, guys. Write a little star beside that one. Everything I've seen, Matthews has problems with the sub defense. He could get caught in this fight. Although again, it wouldn't surprise me if it did go the distance. As Straight Wager said, it is juiced. Okay. Next up, Cole, we got Carlos Ullberg versus Kennedy Nchekwu. Interesting fight here. Ullberg minus 245, Nchekwu plus 205. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this one, Cole, because I don't know about this line. I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting fight. I do think the UFC made this fight for a reason. I think they're trying to set up Carlos Ullberg to get a win. Obviously, Israel Adesanya's main training partner. Like, the whole thing on the Contender Series was, this is the guy Adesanya trains with every single day. This is the guy that is Adesanya's, like, closest teammate and all that stuff. And Kennedy Nchekwu, like, good camp out of Fortis. You know, I really like that camp. But
yep.
I still have so many questions with the guy. Like, getting into the Contender Series, his two wins before fighting on the Contender Series was a 7-13 guy and a guy making his pro debut. He fought a guy making his pro debut to get into the Contender Series, beat Dennis Bryan, then he fights Paul Craig, gets submitted, then he beats Darko Stosic in a really close fight that Stosic got, what, I think it was one or even two point
deductions. Yeah, I watched it again yesterday.
Yeah.
Low blows.
Yep. Yeah, like, he just kept on hitting Kenny and Joko in the low blow. Like, he honestly didn't have to keep on fighting. He would have got DQ'd the second time, so, like, he could have just taken the win, but it was good for him to keep on fighting. But he gets hit a lot. Like, Stosic hit him a lot, and I think if Carlos Ullberg hits you, I think you're probably gonna go out. Ullberg has a ton of power. He did beat Bruno Oliveira, who's a natural middleweight who moved up just to remain on the Contender Series. Then we just saw in Bruno's next fight he got knocked out again. But this guy's a ton of kickboxing experience. I think this is a perfect fight for him, because against a grappler I think he'd have a lot of problems, but Nchekwu's not much of a grappler. He's gonna stay there and stand. I think Ullberg's eventually gonna land something big and knock him out.
Yeah, so I agree with you. And, you know, my instinct here is to go with Ullberg, because I believe that you're right. The UFC is trying to make this fight for him to win against the guy in the check who's very limited, I believe. Hasn't looked that great in the UFC. Cole, I think his striking defense is kind of poor. You know, I will say this, though, with Kennedy, he's a huge guy. He's just a big dude, Cole. He's got a 6-inch reach advantage. If he's able to keep that range, he possibly could maybe outpoint Ullberg. Because the biggest – if you watch Ullberg's fights, he's so inactive. He just stands there and does nothing. He waits for a counter shot. I think Nchekwu's going to get to, like, it's going to be like Ryan Bader Machida, where he just gets to lackadaisical, rushes in, maybe gets caught by a big shot and put out, or just Ullberg wins the decision. I'm not sure what to think about this one as far as a stoppage or a decision, guys, because watching Ullberg, it wasn't as impressive as I thought, quite frankly, Cole. I wanted to like him more. I think he's holding back for sure. I think we haven't seen the best of this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched his first fight in the regional scene in 2011. He looked good in that fight. He took like 7 years off MMA. Kept training the whole time. The fight with John Martin Frazier, no relation. He basically just outpointed the guy. He had no urgency to finish him whatsoever. The fight with Bruno Oliveira, he looked like he was just going to outpoint him, and then Oliveira rushed in and got caught. So that's what I'm thinking probably happens here. Either he gets caught or just outpoints this guy. I do like Ullberg. Don't get me wrong, Cole. I just don't know about minus 245. I was really looking at him at first because I was like, this is an easy fight. But, you know, if Nchekwu is just a little bit more active – you know, he did well against Paul Craig. He did well, decently well against, you know, a couple of these guys in the UFC. But overall, I see too many holes in this game. I can't go with them. I'll take Ullberg. I just don't know about the odds, guys. It's a little bit high. Let's go to the next fight here, Cole. Tim Elley against Jordan Espinoza. This is another freaking crazy fight, man. Espinoza minus 125. Elliott plus 105. Thoughts?
I don't really get the odds. I really like Tim Elliott here. And to get him as an underdog, I think is pretty good. I think Elliott, like, he's on it. Like, he is 1-3 in his last four, but look who he lost to: Davison Figueiredo, Askar Askarov, and Brandon Royval. Though that's the champ, Askar Askarov, he wins this card, probably fighting for the belt next. And then Brandon Royval was one win away from fighting for the belt. Like, and then you look at Jordan Espinoza, who he's losing to. Machinel obviously fought for the belt, but Alex Perez fought for the belt. Machinel, Dave Dvorak, but his only two wins in the UFC are Eric Sheldon and Mark De La Rosa, who aren't even in the UFC anymore. Like, although Tim Elliott does have the win over De La Rosa, like, he submitted him, he beat Ryan Benoit, he beat Louis Smolka. Like, this is a guy that also beat Eric Sheldon on top. Like, I think just under James Krause, he's been a lot better. I think it's a fight where it's going to be grappling century or grappling central. And I just think Elliott's a much better grappler. Like for Jordan Espinosa being such a wrestler, he gets caught on the ground a lot. Like he's one of those wrestlers that just leave his neck out. I think he's eventually going to leave his neck out and Tim Elliott's going to grab a hold of him and choke him out.
I think both guys leave their necks out, man. I think either guy can get submitted in this fight. I do think there's a good chance this fight can end inside the distance, actually, watching these guys, especially if it goes to the ground, because I think it will be on the ground. Wow, the over is actually at 1.5, so they're seeing that too, the odds makers. Usually you'd see it at 2.5 for a flyweight fight, Cole. That's crazy to me. They said at 1.5, but I don't blame them because I think it could end early too. Both these guys make a lot of mistakes on the ground. They're both able to capitalize at times too. I know what you're saying about Elliott. Like, if you look at his level of competition, Cole, generally he's only lost to really good guys. But overall in the UFC, he's 5-9 in the UFC. Mm-hmm. This is a guy you don't really want to pick, quite frankly, because he doesn't really win fights at this high level of the sport. I just don't know if Espinosa's at that level yet. I'm really not sure. To be fair, to Espinosa, you know, his losses, Cole, are to good fighters too. Schnell, Perez, Dvorak. Those are not bad losses. Those are three top 10 guys. So this is a very difficult fight, I believe. You know, Espinosa... My initial instinct here was to go with Elliott just based on pure wrestling and the James Vick effect, which, you know, it's fun to talk about. It's funny, but truthfully, I don't know if it's even, you know, a profitable thing at this point. We're just kind of joking around about it. But, you know, this guy's been with James Krause for years. It's not like he just got with James Krause, Cole. You can watch back a few years ago, he's with him. So, yeah, I do think Elliott's probably improving. But at age 34, you know, I saw his Instagram. He's talking about how he had a really tough training camp. Like, I don't know, Cole. I'm not sure. I have some questions about him in here. I think he's on the decline. I just don't know what to think about Espinosa because on the Contender Series, I gotta be honest, I like this fight for the Contender Series better. The fight with this guy, Nick Urso, man, that was nasty. He basically hurt the guy and then grabbed his neck in a darce like right away in the beginning of the fight. It was sick. And then the fight with Riley Dutro, Cole, he knocked him out 2 seconds left in the third round. So he's got finishing ability, guys. He just has been quite disappointing in the UFC. This is a close fight. My lean right now is slightly towards Espinosa, very slightly. If he can keep it, find the feet, he can probably outstrike Elliott or maybe tap him out on the ground. But this is a close fight, man. I don't think I want to have action on this one, guys. It's very difficult. Kai Kara France versus Rogerio Pretorin, Cole, another flyweight. We actually have three flyweight fights in a row. Awesome. Right now, the odds for this one, Cole, France is minus 140, Pretorin plus 120. Thoughts?
Yeah, interesting fight. I actually line this closer to a pick'em. Like, I think it could go either way. I slightly lean Kai Kara France because I think it just stays a stand-up fight, and I think he's the more technical striker. Bontarin has the ability to kind of, like, he obviously got the dog stoppage win over Julian Paiva. Kai Kara France, Paiva is pretty controversial, but Bontarin, his last fight was Ray Borg. He just kind of got taken down over and over again. Borg just grinded him out, but and he hasn't fought since February of 2020, which is a long layoff. Like that is, it's 13 months now. Obviously, Kai Kara France submitted against Brandon Royval, lost him out. But that was a fight Kai Kara France nearly knocked Brandon Royval out. Like he dropped him. I think he was a bit more patient. He probably could have got the stoppage, but went over Tyson Am. And then his other loss in the UFC is to Brandon Moreno, who fought for the belt. Like he has looked okay in the UFC. He's still waiting for that first UFC finish. Like, all the hype coming into the UFC was this guy just is hit so hard at flyweight, he'll shut everyone's lights out, but he hasn't done that. But I don't think he's going to do that against Bontarin. Bontarin has shown off a pretty good chin. I just think Kai Kara France is the more technical striker and will be able to kind of outstrike Bontarin, probably win like a 29-28 decision.
This one's tough too, man. This is a really tough fight to call because, again, you know, Bontarin's a guy who doesn't fight that often, Cole. Watching his fights back, he's very impressive, man. He's very aggressive. He goes forward. He goes for takedowns. He goes to strike with you. The Paiva fight, he caught him with like a left hook, I think, and then cut his face open badly. That's his big win in the UFC right now. He just hasn't been that active. The biggest problem I saw was the last fight with Ray Borg. And I know it's a completely different fight because it's a grappling-based fight, but that was a grappling-based fight. But, you know, he just didn't look that good in that fight. It looked like he was kind of like declining. That was over a year ago now. So I really wonder what he's going to look like in this one. The guy's a good grappler. We saw that against Bigelow. He got some improved striking call, but I do have some questions about him. France, I got questions about him too. Quite frankly, Cole, I don't know if he really deserves it to be as ranked highly as he is because he doesn't really have any good wins. You know, even the fights that he won in the UFC, like the Garcia fight, Paiva, De La Rosa, even Nam, he had to really work for those fights, guys. Like, he hasn't finished anyone. He's a decision machine. You know, the Royal fight and Moreno fight, the Moreno fight was super close, by the way, and that guy's like a legitimate contender. And that's kind of why I have to go with him here, Cole, because I feel like if you can hang with Moreno and, you know, stuff his shots and keep the fight standing, he should be able to do the same thing here. But the fight with Royville does give me a little bit of pause, Cole, because if he gets into a firefight again, he could get caught in the submission. I saw an interview with him this week. He said he's not going to make that mistake again. He said he just got too excited in the last fight. He said he's going to go back to his just to be a solid fighter in this one. He's training with a great camp. I got to go with France, Cole, very slight lean towards decision. I don't know if I can bet this fight either, though. You know, it's a close one. I would have to probably have, like, pure pick-em money to even take a shot on it. Because I think Bontorin definitely can win this fight. If he gets it to the ground, he'll have a huge advantage. But in general, France has pretty good takedown defense. I think he'll be able to kind of stick and move and win decision. Joseph Benavidez versus Askarov, Cole. Here we go. We got Askarov minus 120, Benavidez plus 100. Thoughts?
Interesting fight. I think this really comes down to, is Joseph Benavidez past his prime, or did he just run through Davison Figueiredo, who's that much better? Like, I think that's why Askarov is a favorite, because Benavidez coming off the two-fight losing streak to Figueiredo obviously didn't look very good in either of them. Like, that first one, a bit of controversy, Figueiredo missed weight, the headbutt and all that stuff, but the second fight, there was no question about it. Dropped him a couple times and just submitted him. The thing is, like, I do worry about his chin now, because he got dropped, I think, what, probably six or seven times.
You know what's crazy? They listed it as two knockdowns last fight at UFC Stats. I watched the fight. It was three knockdowns, 100%.
Yeah. So I think he's been knocked down, what, four or five times in the past two fights? Because I think Figueiredo knocked down in the first round as well, and then obviously the knockout. But he's a guy that, other than Figueiredo, look what he done. Beat Yusir Formiga, beat Dustin Ortiz, beat Alex Perez. He has the win over Henry Cejudo. Like, he's one of the best fighters of all time, but I do think he's a bit past his prime, and I do think, like, those Figueiredo fights have taken a toll on his chin. I think Askarov is probably just going to outstrike Benavidez. I don't really expect the fight hitting the ground, because I think both of them kind of respect the other one's grappling, that they know they could get caught on the ground, because Benavidez has been submitted before. We've seen Askarov, like, yeah, he hasn't lost, but he has that draw against Brandon Moreno. Moreno had some success there, but I think Askarov, like, this is a guy that rocked Tim Elliott, and Tim Elliott, like, basically put Tim Elliott out. Like, when I talked to Tim Elliott, he said he doesn't even remember that second and third round. Like, when the fight was over, he thought he got knocked out the first, because Askarov hit him that bad. But I think Benavidez's chin is gone a bit. Like, not totally gone, but I do think that Figueiredo fight, it kind of took a toll on him. I'm going to pick Askarov by decision, but I wouldn't be surprised if Benavidez, or Askarov finished him.
Straight wager, not hating Joe, but the way he lived his life is in the past now, I think he says, is going to help him bounce back. Love Joe Benavidez. Honestly, probably one of the most underrated fighters of all time. Never won a title, but great record in the UFC. I agree completely, Cole. I think at age 36, he's had his better days in the sport. This is one of those opportunities you get, Cole, to bet against an old declining fighter against a young guy who's improving every fight. Askarov's never lost. He's 28 years old. He's 8 years younger in this fight. He's a little bit taller, a little bit longer. To me, Cole, you know, Benavidez's chin is gone too. I agree completely. I know it's Figueiredo that hurt him, guys. I get it. But I do think Askarov has a little bit of power. We saw it against Tim Elliott. Really hurt Tim Elliott bad. Elliott's got he's like a zombie. It's almost impossible to knock out. I think if he hits Joe with that same shot, Cole, he's going to put him out. So I'm not saying it's a lock for a knockout here, guys, because it definitely could just win a decision. But I do like Askarov. You know, Benavidez, I think if he's smart, Cole, he's going to have to take this fight to the ground and wrestle with this guy. Because Askarov does have some flaws in his grappling, guys. He can be taken down. We've seen that. Moreno kind of got on top of him a little bit. A few other guys have. So that's the flaw in his game. But I don't see Joe being that guy in this fight, Cole. To me, Joe is a striker these days. He likes to stand and trade. I think he's going to get caught. And don't get me wrong. Love the guy. Great career. It's just, this is what happens. Father time catches up to us all, Cole. It really does. Mm-hmm. And this is a bad spot for Joe. I got to be honest, Cole. Minus 120. I think he should be minus 200 in this fight. So there's value on Askarov, guys. Had alcohol problems. I think I've heard about that. I don't really know too much. I just know he's doing great these days. Obviously, he's got Megan, man. He's married to Megan Olivia. I think he's doing great, guys. Next up, Cole, we got, what's the next one here? My list is our order. It's Song and Phillips, right? Okay, yep. So right now we got, this is a great fight too, man. Song Yadong minus 135, Phillips plus 115. Thoughts?
Interesting fight. Like, it's a really close one. I think I'm surprised the odds are this close. I actually thought Song Yadong would be a bigger favorite just because of the name, and not many people know who Kyler Phillips is. I actually like Kyler Phillips in this fight, though. Song Yadong is a guy that, I don't know, I'm just not sold on. Like, I think Cody Stamann beat him. I don't know how that was a draw. Marlon Vera fight, very close, but he gets in a lot of these close fights. I think Kyler Phillips, like, he's a guy you don't really want to be in these close fights with, because he just kind of brings it. He throws everything at you. Like, his last fight, although he hasn't fought anyone that impressive, like, he still has looked good. He comes from a good camp, like Casey Kenny, Mario Bautista, Sean O'Malley. Like, those are the main guys he's working with. Like, that's kind of the four of them working out in Arizona. I like Phillips. I think his striking's a bit better than Song Yadong. I think this fight is going to stay standing. It's definitely a close fight. I would not be surprised if Song Yadong won a fight, but I just think Phillips is a bit better striker, has a bit more power, might be able to hurt Song Yadong. It's probably the edge of a decision, but this is a really close fight.
Great fight, man. This is seriously a great fight. I'm almost surprised they're matching it up because Phillips is only 25 and Song's 23, but I think this is the fight that's going to get Phillips in the top 15, I believe. I do like him here too, Cole, as an underdog. I think he actually could be favored in this fight. I'm glad he's an underdog, though, because I don't think enough people really know how good he is. He's really good. He's great everywhere. He's well-rounded. And, you know, I watched James's interview with him this week, and he talked about how he's taken the time in his career, Cole, to well-round himself. Like, he didn't want to just become like a flashy striker. They call him the Matrix because he's got these flashy kicks and everything. But the guy's good everywhere. We saw the last fight with Cameron Els, Cole, took him down, just beat the crap out of him. You know, he did that in the regional scene. He's a good fight. He's improved too. You know, the fight I saw that he lost, the split decision, he fought a really good fighter in that fight, and you know, he had cardio issues, but he's improved since then. So I liked everything I've seen out of Phillips, man. I think you know, they call this sport mixed martial arts, guys. I think he's the better mixed martial artist. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if the fight stays on the feet, Song can definitely catch. He's got power. We've seen that call Perez. He's knocked out Alejandro Perez, a few other guys. But I question his cardio. I also thought he lost the Marlon Vera fight. Rewatching that fight last night, Cole, they have my freaking tweet on the TV. I was like, I think Marlon Vera won this fight, guys. You thought he won too, right? That fight?
Yeah.
Terrible. So I think he actually, and the Cody Stamen fight, I think he won that, but there was a point deduction for an illegal knee. So it was a draw. But he gassed out a little bit against Stamen, Cole, in the third round here, there too. I think Phillips is a better gas tank, the better striking, the better ground game. Guys, I think that Phillips is the better fighter. So unless he gets caught, which could happen, I think he wins. I like Phillips. Straight wager says under 2.5. Man, it's interesting. What do you think, Cole? Under 2.5 in this fight. You think there's a finish?
That's definitely interesting. Song Yadong is showing off a pretty good chin. Like, I don't really know. Like, and then Phillips, I don't know if he'd get finished either. I probably lean decision, but I wouldn't be surprised someone got finished.
That's an interesting prop, straight wager. I mean, there's definitely a chance for a finish. I'd say it's more than a 50-50 chance. So, yeah, like, there's probably some value there, but I don't know if I want to touch it. I just like Phillips in this fight, guys. So, you know, I haven't made any bets yet. You'll see that at Elite Wins later this week, but that's kind of what I'm kind of looking at, Cole, because from what I've seen, Phillips is a very good fighter, and mm-hmm. I just feel like people are ignoring him. This is interesting. Song training at Alpha Male. Yeah, for sure. Phillips is with the lab. Great training partners there, too. It's a great fight. All right.
Two of them are on this card.
Yeah, Mario Bautista and the next guy here, Casey Kenny. That's his other teammate, guys. So Casey Kenny here takes on Dominic Cruz. I love this fight too, Cole. This is easily a 5-round headline for a fight night, right? Like, this is mm-hmm. a perfect headliner. Casey Kenny -130, Dom +110. What are your thoughts on this one, man?
Interesting fight. I think Casey Kenny has people might come crazy, but I think he has the perfect guy to work with in Sean O'Malley to prepare for Dominic Cruz, just because O'Malley is such that weird, like, stance similar to Cruz, where I think O'Malley can really kind of dictate what Cruz does pretty well. And Dominic Cruz, like, this is a guy that so many people were picking on to beat Henry Cejudo, and I didn't get why. And in that fight, I still see people looking like, oh, Cruz looked pretty good in that fight. I didn't think he looked good at all. I thought he looked slow. I thought his timing was off. And then obviously Cejudo caught him. I think Casey Kenny is just going to beat up Dominic Cruz on the feet here. He is so fast. His body kicks are going to be a problem for Cruz. I think Kenny in the first round is basically just going to go after Cruz's body and legs and just kind of break him down. Like, that's the whole thing. That's what Cejudo had so much success with. If you kick Cruz's legs out, he can't do his movement, and then he just kind of stuck to be kind of picked apart. I think Kenny's just going to go after the body and legs in the first round. Cruz's movement's kind of going to be thrown off, and then Kenny just kind of picks him apart for the second and third round. Cruz does have a pretty good chin. And Kenny isn't really known as a finisher. I do like Casey Kenny by decision, but I don't even think you have to go a prop. I think -130 is a very fair price to pay. I think he should be a higher favorite, to be honest.
Yeah, I love this fight, guys. I really do. And, you know, watching both guys again, Casey Kenny's very, very fun to watch. We've seen the improvements this game. It's like really night and day. I mean, his improvements are really evident everywhere, especially in the striking, obviously. He, you know, and that's what Phillips had told James in their interview. He just said that Casey Kenny's always changing as a fighter. He's a different guy every time we see him. And he truly is, Cole. We saw against Nathaniel Wood, he's able to stand in the pocket and trade for 3 rounds, go to high, crazy output. We saw against Haile Altang the kicks, which are going to be the problem here, I think, for Cruz, Cole. Cruz did not check any of those kicks from Cejudo. It really limited his mobility. Here's the thing. Dominic Cruz made his career on being mobile, Cole, staying on the outside, dodging and weaving, not getting hit. If you look at his stats are they're off the charts. But you got to remember, these stats are from like 10 years ago, guys. He's not the same guy. Cole, he's 35 years old. He's fought like once in 5 years. Watching this, Cole, he looked like a washed up fighter. And I hate to say it because I have a lot of respect for this guy. He looked washed up in that fight. And I think he can win this fight if he's smart and wrestles. That's the way he wins this fight, Cole. He was always one of the best wrestlers. I just don't know if the explosion's there to get that double leg anymore. But if he does wrestle, I think he'll have success because Kenny, his takedown defense is not great, guys. Manny Ramirez is able to control him. Ray Borg controlled him. So he's got problems with his sub-defense. But he is still so much better in the striking. He's so much younger, Cole. The volume, the activity, he's been so much more active. I can't pick Dominic Cruz. I can see why people will, because just the value on having an all-time great underdog money against, really, who the fuck is Casey Kenny when you think about it? Like, who really is Casey Kenny against Dominic Cruz? But it's just one of those spots, Cole, where you have to fade the legend. And I hate doing it because I love Dom, but this is a spot to fade him. And, you know, I just wouldn't go crazy on it, because as much as I do think Kenny's going to win this fight, Cole, I could see the old dog having an Alexis Davis-type fight where he just uses his grappling and is smart against the younger, flashier striker and holds this guy to the ground. So it's kind of a tricky fight, but my lean is towards Kenny. That's my instinct. It's telling me he's going to hurt Cruz. Does he finish the fight? I don't know. Cruz is definitely durable, Cole. He did get killed by Cejudo, but you watch that fight. The way he got hit, Cejudo timed his knee so perfectly. Like, and Cejudo's a different beast. So I'm kind of leaning towards a decision, Cole. What is the prop on that, by the way?
Well, and while you look at that, I forgot to mention, I think this is the last time Dominic Cruz and Benavidez both fight.
I said Benavidez earlier in the year. I think Marcel was on the podcast. We talked about like bold predictions. Him retiring was one of mine. So I think that's definitely possible. It's +160 for a decision. I'd rather just play straight anyways. Because you know what? It's possible Cruz's chin is gone. I will say this though. You know, Cruz has fought better competition. He's been there with better guys. And I was thinking of John Anik talk about him a little bit. He said Dom's had a lot better sparring. He's going to be in better shape for this fight. But the thing is, Cole, we hear that every time he fights, Cole, and I really don't see it. And you know, the Garbrandt fight too, he looked terrible in that fight. The Dillashaw fight, he won, but I don't know if he even really won that fight, guys. To me, you know, he's had his better days, and it's a fight to bet against the legend at a cheap price, basically, against the prospect. And I do like Kenny, so it's something to consider, that's for sure. Battle fan, Kenny's hiding the whole fight. We've not to cross paths with Megan Anderson. I was thinking about that. She's so much bigger than him. She could beat him up, I think. Battle fan, Cruiser's Kenny, and your referee in charge of that, Keith Peterson. Cole said, O'Malley's part of Kenny. Yeah, I mean, he's partying with good guys. Cruz is, I think, still at Alliance, if I'm not mistaken. We'll see. I mean, listen, Cruz is a legend, but I don't know, Cole. I he looked so bad against Cejudo. How could you pick this guy?
To be honest, I don't know why Cruz took this fight.
I don't get it. Like, that's what I'm thinking, too.
If
like,
you lose to Casey Kenny, what if you beat Casey Kenny?
Yeah.
My fans that are just casual fans will be like, okay, cool. If you lose to Casey Kenny, like, people are going to rip him and be like, you lost to this guy. Like, I don't even know who he is.
No, I agree. And that's why I'm thinking about this one. Maybe it's trickier than we're thinking, because did he specifically handpick this guy as his opponent? Did he tell Sean Shelby? Because obviously he works for the UFC, dude. So I don't think he'd want to have a horrible matchup for him. He must see a hole in Kenny's grappling. That's what I think. I think he believes he can take Kenny down, hold him down. But I don't know, Cole. The guy's so much younger, faster, everything. Kenny is what Cruz was 5 years ago, but like almost evolved a little bit just without the grappling. But striking wise, he's fun, man. He's a special guy. All right, cool. What is it? Rakic and Santos, cool. Let's get to the big boys here. We got Thiago Santos and Alexander Rakic, guys. Great fight. Rakic -155, Santos +135. Your pick.
I like Thiago Santos in this fight. I just don't think Rakic is as good as everyone thinks he is. Like, his wins, the guy gets hit a lot. Like,
yep.
Anthony Smith, okay, he beat Anthony Smith. That's a shell of himself. Lost to Volkan Oezdemir. I thought he lost that fight. I know it's kind of controversial. He knocked out Jimmy Manoa. Who doesn't knock out Jimmy Manoa? And that Devin Clark fight, we were both there at UFC 231. Devin Clark almost knocked out Alexander Rakic like a minute into that fight. Devin Clark doesn't have much knockout power. I think it's fair to say Devin Clark doesn't have knockout power. And he nearly knocked out Alexander Rakic in the first round. Rakic gets hit a lot. Even like, so Devin Clark was hitting him. Volkan Oezdemir hit him a lot. I think Thiago Santos has more power than both of them. I think if Santos lands, I think he could finish Rakic, but I think Thiago Santos in a three-round fight is going to be a lot better. He's not going to gas out. Against Glover, he did kind of gas out, but he tried so hard to get that finish because it was his first fight back and over here. I think he just got overexcited. I think he's going to be a lot better this time. I think this fight just stays standing. I think Thiago Santos just kind of picks apart Rakic for three rounds, wins a decision. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished him, though, because I do have question marks about Rakic's striking defense.
I love this fight too. This is a great fight, man. Awesome matchup. Both guys, like, top of the line when it comes to light heavyweights. Start with Rakic here. I definitely like what I see from this guy, Cole. He's definitely got some holes, no doubt about it. Getting dropped by Devin Clark is worrisome, to say the least. I mean, that definitely worries me. I think his striking defense is not great. You know, he doesn't really check the low kicks and stuff too, which bothered me. Like, that's how kind of Usner beat him. Close fight, but he kind of just kind of, like you said, outstruck him a little bit. But I think he's, like, become a smarter fighter since then. We saw against Anthony Smith. I was fading him in that fight just because I thought, you know, he performed poorly against Volkan. Smith, I thought, would have a bounce back. And he destroyed Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith is a top 10 guy, and he destroyed him, made it look easy. And the thing that I liked about that fight, number one, the low kicks. The kicks are just brutal. I mean, both guys have brutal kicks. I can see this becoming like a leg-kicking contest at some point, too. It would be fun to watch. I would love that. But, you know, I think his kicks are really nasty, and I think he has the better grappling. I can't trust Thiago's grappling, man. I had Glover in the last fight, guys. Glover's obviously a better fighter than Rakic, but it's just the grappling is a big problem with Thiago Santos's game. Don't get me wrong. I love Santos. He beats most guys in this division. I would not be surprised at all if he won this fight because he's obviously extremely strong. He's got huge power and got a ton of experience, but he's a little bit of a glass cannon himself, Cole. He's been knocked out by guys like David Branch before, which worries me. Mousasi knocked him out. I think he could get possibly stopped in this fight too. No, I'm leaning towards an under in this fight, Cole, a little bit. I don't think it goes three rounds. It's possible if it does, Rakic will just be kind of holding him, but that's kind of what I'm leaning. My pick is going to be Rakic, guys, I believe. I think he's the more well-rounded mixed martial artist right now. I think, you know, with the grappling we saw against Smith, it could be a boring fight if he does that. And I don't blame him if he does that, because why would you stay and train with Thiago? But, you know, it could be fun too. We'll see. It's going to be a good one. Straight Wager says, blown up 185 or 37. Yeah, he's also 8 years older, I think. So that's a big age difference. It's not having his way with Rakic. Rakic is good. They both have trained together, too, at American Top Team. That's going to be interesting, too, Cole. Jamie Gailey, hey, guys. How's it going? Hey, Jamie, what's going on, man? Glad you're here. We got a couple fights left to talk about. What I love about this card, Cole, when we have the staff picks on Saturday for Oddsbreaker, it's going to be crazy. Every fight will have a dissension, I guarantee you, because you don't really see crazy, like, I don't know, odds on this fight, except for one fight on this card, except for one fight. He's saying Cole, Santos by decision. What's Rakic by decision? Because I feel like that would be more likely. I think
this fight goes the distance. I
think so, eh? Yeah. Rakic by decision is plus 250. We'll see. You know, both guys have – they're a glass cannon, Cole. I could definitely see a knockout. Mm-hmm. You know, by the way, you know what was a great fight? Rakic or
Santos Manoa?
Yeah. And that was in Toronto. We were both there for that fight. That was a great fight. Here's the thing, though. I didn't see those fights live, right? Because I was in the back. I was with Sherdog at the time, with James and all these guys. I was rewatching them now. Like, the crowd was going – I really missed the crowd. You know, you can say what you want about hearing the corners. Dude, I'd rather hear the crowd going crazy for a knockout, Cole, wouldn't you? Like, I really would. It makes the sport so much better. All right, guys. Drew Dober against Islam Makhachev. The last non-title fight in the card. Right now, we have Drew Dober. He's a pretty big underdog here, Cole. Plus 275. Makhachev. Minus 335. Just curious, like, do you see a path to victory for Drew?
I think Drew basically has to land that knockout punch. We've seen Islam get knocked out before. Drew Dober has a ton of power, like knocked out Nazareth Hackbrass, knocked out Alexander Hernandez, knocked out Polo Reyes. Like, this guy does have a lot of power. Islam Makhachev's grappling is a big difference. And the thing with Drew Dober, when I was talking to him, he basically said this is a shot at redemption. Because you look at Drew Dober's career, when he fights a grappler, he struggles and gets submitted. I think the same thing happens here. I think Islam takes him down, submits him. And I was looking, Islam Makhachev by submission is plus 450.
Wow. Yeah, that's something I'm looking at too, actually, guys.
I think, you look at Dober, the grappler, the last grapplers he's fought, Benil Dariush, OAM, and then Escudero, Dober lost all three by submission.
Yep.
I think it's worth a stab. Like, 450, I think, is a really good line for that, because I think Islam just takes him down over and over again. And I would not be shocked if he ends up finding a choke. Islam doesn't get a whole lot of submissions. Like, he isn't as known as finishing fights as like Khabib, because he's protege. Like, you look at his career, he's mostly going the distance, but he did submit Cajun Johnson. He did the knockout of Gleason Tebow was still kind of crazy to me. He just one punch him. But I think Islam, this is a fight where he can get a finish. I think the UFC's kind of trying to push him now that Khabib's retired. And I think this is a fight where I wouldn't be surprised if he submits someone. I think plus 450, like, I'm gonna have to take a small shot on it.
Yeah, this is another good fight. I like the matchup, but there's no doubt Dober has one path to victory here, guys. Basically land a left hand. It's basically land a huge left hand, a hook or something. You know, the one fight, it's interesting to note, and Fight Matrix or UFC Stats has the stance wrong, guys. Mm. Makhachev is a southpaw. So when you're doing your research, if you hear, or now they fixed it. They fixed it. They saw my tweet. Hell yeah, baby. That's right. They saw my tweet and fixed it because they screwed up. He's a southpaw, and they had him listed as an orthodox, and people were like talking about how Dober's got that southpaw stance, but they're both southpaws, so it'll kind of play itself off. Although it's worth noting, Adriano Martins, Cole, is a southpaw. He knocked out Makhachev. Makhachev basically left his chin in. He went in, and the guy caught him with like a giant overhand right. That's basically what happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think that happens here. You know, watching Makhachev's improvements, everyone's talking about the ground game. There's no doubt about it, Cole. His grappling is – he is like Khabib. He's relentless with the takedown. He goes for it. He gets it. I think he'll get this fight to the ground. But, you know, the striking, I think, is an improvement too. I think he's looked much better in the striking, Cole. So we'll see. But I like him here. You know, it's possible he could get cocky and stand and trade Dober and get caught, but I don't see it, Cole. You know, I look at this like the Dariush fight where Dober actually hurt Dariush badly in that fight. And, you know, he wasn't able to get the finish, and then he got submitted. I think the biggest problem with Dober is his sub defense, Cole. And I think this could be a fight where he gets subbed. So I'm 100% with you. Sub prop at plus 450 is definitely kind of something worth of playing. But I got to go with Makhachev, guys. You know, I really like Dober. I kind of wanted to take a shot on Cole, but I can't because he's got too many problems with his takedown defense and his grappling in general. It's not great. If he keeps a stand, he can land that bomb. But other than that, he's got one. He's like Derek Lewis last week. He's got one path to victory. Can he do it? I don't know. We'll see. Sharp eyes right there. Dude, I was watching. I was like, am I seeing things? Like, dude, does the fight pass? Is it in a mirror or something? Like, is it backwards? I was thinking, like, how could they screw this up? But they fixed it. So I don't know who saw that tweet. I'm so glad you saw that, guys. Thank you so much. I like to have good information for people. You know what I mean, Cole? Like, because people were talking about other podcasts saying, like, he's an orthodox. And I'm thinking, that's not right. Okay. Yan and Sterling. We got three fights left, guys. We got 15 minutes. Let's get through them. Peter Yan, Aljamain Sterling. Cole, it's essentially a pick 'em. It's a pick 'em fight, Cole. Who are you picking?
I really like Peter Yan here. I think Peter Yan should be a, like, not a sizable one, like a minus 170 favorite. I think this is a great line. I think everyone just kind of thinks Aljamain Sterling is just going to take him down and beat him up on the ground. Peter Yan has underrated takedown defense. You look at that rematch with Magomedov. He was stuffing all his takedowns. We saw what he did in Bellator. We saw what he did in ACA. And the thing is that split decision, I think Peter Yan won that fight. Like, I think Yan really should be undefeated. He's looked impressive. Like, Jimmy Rivera, like, although he hasn't had, I agree with people saying, like, especially what Sterling says, like, he didn't have the hardest path to the title shot, but he did still beat Jimmy Rivera, John Dodson, Uriah Faber knocked him out, and then the Jose Aldo fight was just kind of a beat down the third, fourth, fifth round. I think Aljamain Sterling won't be able to get Peter Yan down, and then striking-wise, I think he had so much better strike, where he's just going to pay apart Aljamain Sterling, and I actually think Peter Yan is going to finish Aljamain Sterling in the championship rounds. I think eventually Yan's gonna, similar to what, not like as bad as Aldo, but just eventually, like, the damage just eventually wears, he's gonna drop Sterling and just kind of TKO him. But I really like Peter Yan, and the way the money's moving, like, Peter Yan might close as an underdog. Like,
that's crazy.
So much money has been coming on Aljamain Sterling, and I just think people are overlooking Peter Yan's takedown defense. Everyone looks at that one Magomedov fight and they go, oh, look, Peter Yan was taken down so many times. They don't look at the rematch when he stuffed pretty much all the takedowns and just kind of pick Magomedov apart on the feet. But I like Peter Yan in this fight.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on this one, Cole. I lean towards Yan too. Don't get me wrong, Sterling's a great fighter. He's improved immensely everywhere. We saw against Pedro Munhoz, he stayed very mobile and active from the outside, picked him apart, looked great in the striking. We saw against Sandhagen how quickly he topped him out. I feel like everyone's looking at that Sandhagen fight and thinking, you know, if he can tap out Sandhagen in 1 minute, he's going to be able to do the same thing to Yan or something. But I don't see that happening. You know, if you watch Aljo's fights, it's not like he's not really getting traditional double leg takedowns or single leg takedowns. Goal. He goes for the body lock in the clinch against these unorthodox takedowns, or he gets your back like in a transition like he did to Sandhagen. Peter Yan is extremely scrappy, Cole. He's really good at kind of getting out of these scrambles and staying mobile, staying on his feet. He does have a shorter reach by 4 inches, which could be a problem if this fight stays a range for Aljo with the kicking range. But I got to be honest, Cole, we saw, you know, Aljo take – or Yan take all those best kicks in the Aldo fight, and he kept going forward. I don't think that Aljamain Sterling kicks harder than Aldo. So I don't know how much damage he's going to do with his kicks compared to what Aldo did. And he kept coming forward, and you saw the boxing. And you saw that here's the difference in the fight. It's a close fight, but you know what the difference is, Cole? The fight-ending power of Peter Yan. He literally has, like, the most power in this division. Almost every fight he's had in the UFC has ended with him knocking someone out or knocking them down, even the decisions. I believe the knockout power comes into play here, Cole. We saw, you know, Sterling get caught against Marais. I think Jan is a more powerful guy in some respects. Obviously, that was a knee. Jan's more of a boxer. I don't know if he finishes this fight, Cole. You know, the total set at, I think, 3.5 rounds. It's kind of a tricky spot. But I do like Jan in this fight, guys. So that's my lean. I do believe he'll be able to kind of tail the grappling exchanges. And I just think he's the better striker. And, I you know, mm-hmm. the reach does have an issue, because if it does get kicking range, it could be a problem. But I just, over everything I've seen, I can't bet against Peter Yan. I wouldn't pick him against anyone, Cole. And as much as I like Aljo, we have seen him lose in the UFC multiple times. We've never seen Peter Yan lose in the UFC, Cole. He's never even been close really to losing, except for possibly the Rivera fight where he was kind of getting picked apart a little bit. Maybe that's what people think happens here, Cole. But again, we saw that fight, Cole. What happened in that fight? He was getting picked apart and then landed that big knockdown. And that's what he's got. He's got the fight any power. So Peter Yan is my lean. Co-main event, Amanda Nunes against Megan Anderson. Amanda Nunes, massive favorite, -1160. Megan Anderson, +750. You give Anderson any chance at all in this fight?
No, just to make this breakdown quick so we can spend more time on Jan Adesanya. I think Amanda Nunes is going to fight this fight very smart, doesn't want any part of Anderson's stand-up, just takes her down. And I think Amanda Nunes tops Megan Anderson out. I think this is going to look very similar to what Felicia Spencer Megan Anderson was. I don't think Megan Anderson's grappling has improved that much. Look who she fought since Felicia Spencer, Zara Farron and Norma Dumont. Amanda Nunes will do the same thing to them. I think Amanda Nunes just goes out there, grapples Megan Anderson, and eventually taps her out.
Yeah, I'm 100% with Cole. And, you know, there's something to be said about Nunes inside the distance prop, or sorry, by sub, +185. It's not great value, guys, but it's certainly better than laying this huge -1165. You can't obviously lay the number. You're not going to bet that kind of. I wouldn't even put in a parlay, Cole, because it's MMA. And listen, Megan Anderson does have power. She does. She's knocked out a couple girls. She's a big girl. She's bigger than Nunes, taller, longer. The problem is she's very hittable. She has terrible takedown defense. Holly Holm took her down so easily, Cole. There's no doubt Felicia Spencer took her down so easily. Yeah, she's beating Norma Dumont and Zara Fan. Who are those people, Cole? Who even are they, really, when you think about it? This is the GOAT. This is the GOAT, guys. This is Amanda Nunes inside the distance. That's how you play this fight, guys. You know, it's -340 for inside the distance. Even that's not great value, Cole, but I don't see Megan Anderson going the 5 rounds. I don't think she has the cardio to you. It's either going to be Nunes by TKO ground and pound, gets on top, rains on punches from mount or something, or a submission. I do see her taking the fight to the ground. Why would you stand and trade with a long, rangy striker? There's no point at all. I think she ducks down, Cole, and gets that double leg really quick, or single leg, and gets a finish probably in the first round, Cole. I'm also looking at the under, Cole. I know it's 1.5 rounds in a women's fight, guys. Cole, Megan's last four fights have gone under the total. Many of Nunes' fights have gone under the total. I'm kind of leaning towards the under. I know it's 1.5, but what do you think? Do you think it ends in the first round?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I think Nunes, like, everyone talks about Sterling needs one takedown. I don't think that's true. I think Nunes needs one takedown. Yeah. I think she takes it down once and finishes it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. So maybe in the first round, guys, take a look at that. Tyler Warner swamped with work today, had to jump in, put on record. I'm taking Megan Anderson. That's okay, dude. You know what? I'm glad we have
my buddy split $40. He put $20 on Anderson money line and $20 by Anderson by KO. He's like, it pays so much, I can lose $40.
Dude, she has power. She definitely does. She's a big girl. But, like, listen, Amanda's been in with Jermaine Duran, and he's a better striker. I just can't see her being stupid in this fight. Mm-hmm. She has so much on the line, Cole. She has so much, you know, riding on this fight. I think she just fights smart, gets the first round sub. That's what I'm looking at. I'll take a look at that sub prop, guys. But again, you know, I personally wouldn't want to lay this kind of huge number. I wouldn't even parlay her, Cole, even though I do think Nunes wins this fight probably 99% of the time. So there actually might be some value there, Cole, possibly, even at that huge number. But I don't bet on those kind of massive numbers, guys. No, thank you. All right, finally, guys, we got about 5-6 minutes left here to break down Israel Adesanya and Jan Błachowicz. Right now, we got Izzy -230, Jan +190, Izzy moving up to 205 pounds. Thoughts, Cole? Who's your pick in the main event of UFC 259?
Give my guy Jan some respect. I've been backing this guy so much. He's always a 2-1 underdog. But unfortunately, you have to pick against him in this fight. I just think Adesanya's striking is next level. Hear me out, though. I would not be shocked if Jan Błachowicz, because Jan is going to be stronger. I think that's clear for everyone. I would not be surprised if Jan does what he did to Jacare Souza and just holds him up against the cage, clenches, lands some knees, lands some elbows, and just makes it a boring, grinding fight and wins a decision that way. Or I wouldn't be surprised if he just lands up the legendary Polish power and knocks out Adesanya. We've seen Adesanya get knocked out in kickboxing. Like, he has been knocked out before, but I think Adesanya is just so much better striking-wise. He's so, like, just technically sound, where I think he's just going to pick Jan apart. And I think in that third, fourth round, he's eventually, the damage is going to wear on Jan. He's going to get that TKO win. But I think the odds are too high on this fight, though, because I think Jan definitely has some paths to victory in this fight.
RC says Nunes could just overlook Anderson and focus on her family more in training. For sure. She looked good in her, in the pictures on Instagram, but I mean, that's just pictures. We'll see in the fight. Alex says Jan TKO. Okay, so, all righty. Let's break this one down, Cole. Love this matchup. Both guys are incredible fighters. Izzy, I have picked Izzy in all of his UFC fights, so I'm 9-0 picking his fights. Jan, Cole, I think I'm like 0-15. Like, I can't pick his fights right. I looked at his career. He's been the underdog. He's had 15 fights in the UFC. How many times has he been the underdog, Cole, in the 15 fights?
I think it's like 12 or 13.
12 times. Yeah. 12 times. Plus Izzy, so 13 times. And he's won 8 of those fights. He wins 75% of the time as an underdog. And we're not talking about 2 or 3 fights. We're talking about 12 fights. That's a decent sample size. He's so overlooked. I watched his fights.
You guys were calling me crazy. I was picking Reyes.
I know. You're right. Cole picked him against Reyes. I picked Reyes because I thought he beat Jones. I thought he could do the same thing to Jan. Jan is so underrated, guys. I got to be honest. Watching his fights, he's incredible, man. He's so well-rounded. And I keep asking myself this. The sport's not called striking. It's not called kickboxing. Because if it's just a straight kickboxing fight, I think Izzy could stay a range, kick him, beat him up, jab him. We saw against Brad Tavares. That's kind of what he wanted to do. I don't think it's going to work here, guys. There's a huge difference in fighting a 205, a legitimate 205 pounder like Jan, who could arguably fight at heavyweight, possibly, Cole. And someone like Israel, yes, I know Israel's long range, he's amazing. I love Israel, guys. He's incredible. But I think there's going to be a massive difference in strength and size here, Cole. It's something I want to see the weigh-ins at. Don't get me wrong, guys. I can see why everyone's picking Adesanya. He's got the range. He's a lot younger. He's undefeated. It's so hard to pick against these undefeated fighters. But, Cole, everyone loses in the sport eventually. The only guy that's never lost really is Khabib. I'm not overlooking Izzy. I think he's amazing. I think this fight's a pick-em fight. I'm going to go with Jan. I'm taking Jan for the upset. Now, how does he win? A knockout's possible for sure. We saw Izzy get knocked out by Alex Pereira in Glory against a bigger man. Got knocked out. This is possible. But if you watch Jan's fights, he's actually a very patient, smart fighter, Cole. The only fight where he wasn't was against Thiago Santos, and he rushed in, got caught, and got KO'd. And since then, he's won 4 straight fights. I've just been more impressed by Jan. It's crazy. I can't believe I'm saying that. But watching the fights back, Cole, I'm more impressed by Jan. And I just think there's such a difference in the power, Cole, at 205 compared to 185. We saw the kicks he landed. Look at Dom's body in that fight. His back had this massive welt, and then he got caught with the punch. I think there's going to be a difference in power in this fight. Don't get me wrong. Izzy might win. I'm going to look like a dumbass next week. That's fine. But I'll tell you right now, underdogs are winning at a crazy clip right now, Cole. Everyone's counting out Jan. When's Jan most dangerous, Cole? It's when he's counted out. Give me Jan. I think he gets the job done, man. I know it's crazy, guys. Don't get me wrong, but I think he's going to do it. I love this guy, man. He's the more well-rounded fighter, and I love him. Battle fans, you can't say Israel losing. Yeah, I mean, look at the odds. Everyone kind of thinks the same thing, but everyone said things about, you know, lots of fights. And to be honest with you, this is a great point. Izzy seems scared by Romero's power. Dude, he barely got by Romero. You know, I love Izzy. He looked great against Costa. He looked good against Whitaker. That fight with Romero, you know, that was a terrible performance. And I, you know, a lot of his fights, Cole, he's very content to kind of stand and trade and just make it a sparring match. I don't think Jan's going to go in there and lie down and give up his title. People think he's just going to get picked apart and just get, you know, stay at the end of the jab for 5 rounds. I think Jan would actually rather go in there and die in the cage than lose his belt, Cole. To me, like, he's worked his whole life for this, and I don't see him being an easy fight for Izzy. I think this is by far Israel's toughest fight in the UFC. I am 9-0 picking Adesanya fights, and I'm going against them for the first time, taking Jan Blachowicz. That's it for this podcast, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Cole, thanks again, man. I appreciate it. You're going to be back on next Tuesday for your last show at 10 a.m. So again, 10 a.m. this week, 10 a.m. next week. The week after, we're going to go to 4 p.m., guys, 4 p.m. Eastern. So we'll do that. Let me get these comments, get these quickly. Tyler says Costa was too drunk to fight. We throw an asterisk on a win. I don't know. I mean, it's just
an excuse. Stupid excuse.
Yeah, but you know what? Costa didn't look good in that fight. It wasn't his normal, like, Costa performance. He looked awful. I don't see Jan just going in there and doing that, Cole. I think he's going to make it a really hard fight. Like, the Souza fight's very good comparable. And then this last question, comment, Anderson, Prochaska Naskin, love it. He said move to light heavyweight, beat Bonner, moving from middleweight straight to lead light heavyweight. Dude, I agree. People forgetting that. We'll talk about it a little bit more on Thursday, 10 a.m.